This is Dr. Max T. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at this same time. And again, we count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies and to follow in your Bible. And that's the main thing, is to take the Bible and open the Bible and say, here it is, thus saith the Lord. Doesn't matter what the church, the preacher, or anybody else, but it does matter what does the Bible say, because that's the authority upon which the Christian should stand. Now, in your Bibles here, we're over here to the 14th chapter. And we're continuing now our second message in that. And we found out here when it talks about judging, what are we to judge, what are we not to judge? And we're finding out here is talking about judging the little things, not talking about the big things, like, for example, it's not talking about judging as to whether a teacher is a false teacher, because we are to judge that. 1 John chapter 4 tells us that we are to try the spirits, whether they be of God, and so forth. We are to judge who we have fellowship with. We find out here in Romans, if we go to the last chapter here in verse 17 and 18, it tells us, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. That's contrary to the Bible, not church, we should say, things that's made up that are not in the Bible. We're not talking about traditions now, but we're talking about what you've been taught that is in the Bible, where you can go to the Bible and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. Then it says, avoid them. Avoid them. So we are to judge those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the Bible. The Bible, not tradition, because tradition will always get you into trouble. It's always something added to the Word of God which is not there, and sometimes churches, denominations add these things, and you can't find them if you tried. I remember when we first came to Walnut Grove, we began on the radio, and we were bringing out messages like having your babies baptized, and it infuriated people because they've been taught all of their life, have your baby baptized. Have your baby baptized. Oh, your baby's not going to make it if it's not baptized. And we would come out on the radio and say, look, where in the Bible, anywhere, did God ever tell you to have your baby baptized? But when you've had this brainwashed and you've had this stamped in your mind time after time after time for hundreds of years, and then somebody comes along and says, hey, it's not in the Bible. You would think somebody in 100 years that sat in the congregations would have looked in their Bible and said, hey, show me in the Bible where this is true. So then somebody comes along and says, hey, it's not in the Bible. Oh, they're a cult. They're a cult. Where in reality, who's the cult? I mean, if you're doing something God never said to do and you made it up and you pawned it off on people that said, this is what you need to do, and you brainwash people that your baby may not go to heaven now if it's not baptized, and you never read it in the Bible, and it's not there, then, brother, you got a big problem. This is what tradition will always do when it conflicts with the Word of God, you see. And that's what it's talking about. And then it goes on to verse 18 and says, so these are things that you have to try. These are things that if you want to know what the Bible says, look in the Bible. It says in verse 18, for they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but by their own belly and good words now, good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. A person and a Christian, if you're a Christian, you know what I always ask. It doesn't matter what church you go to, if it's a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, a Methodist, a Catholic, or whatever it is, whatever Presbyterian, whatever denomination, doesn't make any difference. You ought to always ask if you have any doubt and you've never read it in the Bible, say, hey, where is this in the Bible? Show it to me in the Bible. But people begin to be so brainwashed and so scared that you almost feel like you're committing a sin. If I should go to my pastor or my priest, I'm insulting him. Well, maybe he needs insulting. Did you ever think about that? Because if he's telling you something that's not in the Bible, man, you are being tricked, you are being fooled, you are being lied to, and you have swallowed a rotten apple. That's what you swallowed. Show it to me in the Bible. I remember in my early Christian life, and boy, I had been to some of these churches, and I had been to many churches, and I just listened to what the preacher said. I was a young boy, I was a teenager, and then after I began to look at things and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and never had one of these people, one of these preachers, ever tell me how to go to heaven. They had me singing in the choir. They had me doing all these things. Never told me how to go to heaven when I died. I went back to some of them. And I said, show this to me in the Bible. Well, they couldn't. And they were very highly insulted. Well, if I'd listened to them, and had I died, I'd have split hell wide open, you see. So it's better to put your trust. The middle verse of the Bible, always remember this, is Psalms chapter 118, verse 8. It's better to put your trust in the Lord than confidence in men. Now, we come over here. What else is Romans chapter 14 not speaking about? This is not talking about church discipline, because we are to have church discipline. But it's talking about when two Christians, a young Christian, an immature Christian, and a mature Christian have a conflict over how they look at something, and it's using in here, as it did in Bible times here, what should I eat? Now, at that time, they would bring in and offer the lambs and so forth and sacrifice them to what they thought the true Christian was an idol, because even the priest did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was just a job. It was just an occupation for them. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of these so-called religious people did not believe in a lot of things. The Sadducees never believed in the resurrection. They never believed in spirit beings. They never believed in life after death. And these were the ones that Christ always had a conflict with. It was the religious people who were phonier than a $3 bill that denied Jesus Christ, did not accept him as the true Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, and didn't want anything to do with him. This is what he encountered, and this is exactly what a Christian encounters today. It's not from a lost person. You don't get it from them. I mean, as far as, I should say, a lost person that doesn't go to church or anything else. The people that you get the most lies told about you by are church-going people, just like the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites and the priests and the Sadducees. And these are the ones that crucified Jesus Christ. When you go to Matthew chapter 13, are you to judge them? Absolutely, Christ did. He surely did. Did he judge them? What did he say to them? And, you're judging. Really? Well, maybe Jesus Christ was wrong then. Maybe he was just entirely wrong. Because when you go to Matthew chapter 23, which records his encounter with those, he came out and told them, said, you're filled full of pride. And he said in verse 6, and you love the uttermost seats in the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace. And you love to be called a man rabbi. You love to be called a man master. And you love to be called father and so forth. And he said, I'm telling you now, don't call any man father upon this earth. Because you have one father which is in heaven, even the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. And he comes on down. And he talks to them right straight. Is he attacking them? Is he attacking them? He's coming down with them with 2 feet right on top of their head. Because they're phonier than a $3 bill. And he tells them. He says, you make long prayer in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees. You're a bunch of hypocrites. For you can compass land and sea to make one proselyte. You made him a twofold child of the devil. Once you get him wrapped up into religion, you belong to our denomination now. You belong to that. Then your whole faith is in the name of this denomination, whatever denomination it might be, and the heck with the Bible, you see. He goes on. Verse 14, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're a bunch of hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses." The only thing you're interested in is if they'll leave their money to you when they die, make it out, make the will out to the church so we can have your money. "For a pretense of long prayer," they pray. Oh, they pray so heavenly. God said, "I know your heart." Christ said, "I know you. You're just phony. You make a pretense. You pretend in order to deceive the people. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation." And then he goes on and he goes on and he goes on in the whole chapter. And he says in verse 24, "You blind guides which strain a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you scribes and you Pharisees and you hypocrites. For on the outside you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess." Christ said inside, you're just dirty. You're just dirty. And you fooled the people because you present yourself as being holier than thou, and inside you are dirty and you are filthy. Now, you would say that Pastor Younce isn't saying this. This is what the Bible says and what Jesus Christ said. So, oh, Jesus, you're judging. Oh, my gracious. These wonderful people, these wonderful leaders of the synagogue. Oh, these priests are so holy. These scribes are so holy. They love God. And Jesus Christ said, "You're a bunch of hypocrites. That's all you are. You may fool the people, but you surely don't fool me." And what they should have done, the people should have looked in the Bible, you see. And then in verse 27, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And he just calls them hypocrites. Oh, you're judging, Lord. Dear Lord, you're judging. Heaven's sakes. Jesus, you're wrong. You shouldn't judge. You don't fit the society here. My gracious, you're not to judge. Let us do everything dirty that we can do. Let us lie. Don't catch us. Don't tell us we're liars. Don't do that. Most lies I ever had told on me in my life have been by religious people. I've never seen anything like it. Man, I was taking a radio broadcast up to the radio station, and I do a lot of my studying early in the morning, so I left about 5:30 in the morning. A man seen me in my car 5:30 in the morning, and next day it was out, "Oh, Pastor Younce is poaching deer. Pastor Younce is poaching deer." My gracious, when I heard that, I said, I cannot believe you people. You go to church every Sunday, and you start a filthy, dirty lie, but they don't care. He goes to church, but this person just doesn't, on the outside, oh, he's just so sweet and nice. Underneath, this guy's a lion, roaring to devour anybody that he can that doesn't go to his church or says anything that would contradict the tradition that his church sets forth. One man told me that. He said, I said, you know, did he, everybody he's seen out at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, maybe he should have went to the game warden and told them, every car out is poaching deer. They're poaching deer, for heaven's sakes. And yet, one of the local people, oh my, so holy, so nice is this fellow, so nice. Then he goes on, and he says in verse 29, "Woe unto you, scribes, and you Pharisees, and you hypocrites, because you build tombs of the prophets and garnish of the sepulchres." And he says, "You generation, you serpents, and generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Now, are we to judge those things? Absolutely. But what aren't we to judge? Well, we went over a few of them. We'll hit them just again. Those things you are to judge. You better judge. You better judge who you go with. You better judge who you associate with. You better judge a lot of things. But what we're speaking about here are the things here about judging. What about wearing slacks? What about mixed bathing? What about movies? Are you going, if you see a Christian come out of a movie, are you going to say, oh, I bet he's going out to poach deer. Oh, my gracious sakes. That's the big thing in Walnut Grove. I get that every year for 10 years here. And in this area here, you know. But they just want to destroy you. It doesn't matter what they lie about you. It doesn't matter what they say or anything else. They just want to lie about you because you don't belong to their little click, their little clickety-clickety-clickety-click, which is an absolute joke to many people outside of the area. And but anyway, to say this, what about going to movies? What about watching TV or having a TV? I know Christians who wouldn't have a TV in their home. I know many other Christians that have a TV. They like to have them. I have one. About the only thing worth watching is sports and so forth like that, or the news or the weather and that. So I have a TV, personally. Now, I know a good friend of mine who doesn't have a TV. And he's a wonderful Christian man, very intelligent man, witnesses for the Lord and everything else. Am I going to condemn him because he doesn't have a TV? Or am I going to say, oh, he's just too legalistic because he doesn't have a TV? Absolutely not. That's his prerogative if he wants to have a TV or he doesn't want to have a TV. You see, that's his prerogative. Now, we find out here also there are some judging, well, what about this holy day or that holy day, or what about betting? What about the lottery and so forth? Let me just give you an example here. I'll tell you, I heard some down in Bible college when our college was started down in Miami, Florida. Well, after we'd been there a few years, it began to grow to where we had about 1,600 students. And boy, were they soul winners. I mean, 1,600. That's a lot of students, folks. And anyway, it was getting too small for the building that we had there. So anyway, they were looking at a whole hotel up north in the northern part of the state, or about the middle part of the state. And this thing cost, like, I think, $4 million or there. The hotel had wanted to sell it because they wanted to build a new hotel there. Now, this was like a 10-story building, something like that, right on the beach and everything. I mean, it was beautiful. And anyway, a Christian man, he said, well, I tell you what, he played the stock markets all the time. And he made millions of dollars playing the stock markets. And he gave in the millions there to help buy the building up there where Florida Bible College moved after it had left Miami, Florida. Now, I'll tell you something. You may say, oh, playing the stock market's too bad. That's all right. Nobody said a word, did they, after what he gave, I think it was $1.5 million, $2 million, something like that, to Florida Bible College in order to purchase that whole motel, great big motel right there on the beach. And, oh, what a beautiful thing it was. Had a red room in it. Oh, my gracious. It was a gorgeous place. You know what? Don't be too judgmental. It may come back on you, you know. But this is what Paul's talking about here in writing here. What about women wearing slacks? Oh, my gracious, we were saved in a church I'll never forget. And a friend of mine, where I had pastored a church, he didn't believe a woman should wear slacks. Now, he never made a big deal out of it, anything like that, but he didn't believe a woman should wear slacks. Well, to make a long story short, we talked about that, and later he left, and he pastored a church up in Ottawa, Canada. So Margie and I, my wife, we went up to visit him up there, and now it gets a little cold up there, folks, in the wintertime. And so anyway, when we arrived at the home, I couldn't believe it. She had a pair of slacks on. And he said, oh, man, gets cold up here in the wintertime. Said, all these women wear slacks. Well, where I had come from in Ohio, we found out that some churches down there held that if you wore slacks, they applied that to wearing what a man wore and so forth, and they looked down upon that. And these are the kind of things that God's talking about. You could quit looking around at other people. I remember one pastor I know quite well. And anyway, he went and took the church. He hadn't been there. And it was sort of the pastor before him was a very legalistic church. They never permitted mixed bathing. So anyway, he came there as youth director. I had a youth director come in, and he had told the youth director, he hadn't been there 6 months, he said, whatever you do, do not take the youth group mixed bathing. You take the boys one time, you take the girls at another, but you do not take them mixed bathing. And boy, sure enough, he went right down, took them mixed bathing, come back, I'm telling you, the church was in an uproar, and within a few weeks, he was gone. He was gone. I mean, this is the things that we're talking about here. The things, the little things that become big things. Do you belong to organizations? Now, you may have an opinion about belonging to the Masons. You may have an opinion about belonging to the Knights of Columbus or the Eastern Star or so forth, or so forth like that. Now, if you ask my opinion, then I'll give it to you. But I'm not going around and just say, hey, this is my opinion. I'm going to condemn you for doing this and so forth. No. Keep your mind on serving the Lord, you see. Now, we come on down here to verse 6 here of Romans here in the 14th chapter. Let's read it here. He that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord. That's talking about the holy days and so forth. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doeth not regard it. That's the other fellow that doesn't pay any attention to the holidays, doesn't bother him at all. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. So those that eat things that another man wouldn't eat, he gives thanks to the Lord, for he eateth thanks. And he that eateth not, those that say, no, I'm not going to eat that particular thing, that's just not right, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So the one that has an opinion, yes, you can eat this, I don't care if the meat's been offered unto idols and so forth, it doesn't make any difference to me. You see, both give thanks, the day and the eating. Other words, the one person gives thanks to God for the meat, which the other person wouldn't eat. And the other did the same with the herbs, which they ate for conscience sake. He restricted himself and so forth. Now let's go to verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. What in the world does that mean? For none of us as Christians liveth to, or the Greek word can be translated for himself. That is, to dispose of himself or shape his conduct after his own ideas and inclinations. And to do that, we should be living for the Lord. Now, if somebody disagrees, you can do something, that's fine. The best thing to do is forget it and go on in your Christian life. I'm sure you heard the story. A man was up in his 60s, and he'd never been married. And anyway, talking about forgetting now. He thought, well, I'm going to a singles dance, and maybe I'll meet somebody there about my age, and maybe we can get married. And, you never know what's going to turn out, but I'm lonesome. I need a little companionship. So anyway, he goes to this dance, and he meets this nice lady about his age, something like that. They dance. They have a wonderful time. And at the end, before they depart, he asks her, he says, could I ask you a question? She said, well, go right ahead. He said, would you marry me? Why, she said, I sure would. Oh, he was just delighted. So she went on home. He went on home, got her phone number. So anyway, he got home. Next morning, he got up, and he had forgotten what she said. He said, boy, I better call her. I can't remember if she told me yes or she told me no. So he gave her a call. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm a little embarrassed, you know. But he said, last night, you know, when we danced and had a good time, and I asked you to marry me, and he said, you know what, I can't remember what you told me, if it was yes or no. Oh, she said, yes, and she said, I'm so glad you called, because I couldn't remember who I told that to. Well, sometimes they'll get along just fine, won't they? They won't remember what one did to the other the next day, and that's good. You know what? We need to get quick trying to remember things to pick at other Christians and to do that. And to go on. And that's what this chapter is about. Now let's go here to verses 8 and 9. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, and whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Now might be the Lord both of the dead and the living simply means it is the grand object of his death and resurrection. It was not only to save us from hell, but also to acquire his absolute lordship over those that he had redeemed, both in their living and also both in their death. So through the death of Christ, he conquered death for us. Because when we believe in him, we're passed from death unto life. And also, we to reckon ourselves to be dead unto Christ, but alive, dead unto sin, but alive unto Christ, so that he can be Lord of the living and Lord of the dead also, you see. Now, coming here, and the reason he reminds the Christians here in Romans chapter 14 is, look, there's a time coming. Quit picking at everybody. Quit picking at these little things. If one wants to wear slacks, fine. If one wants to wear a dress, fine. On that, let them be convicted in their own mind, because not every Christian is of the same spiritual maturity. And that's what Christians need to realize. You know, there are things now in my Christian life that I wouldn't even think of doing. But there were things when I first got saved didn't bother me at all. And it really didn't. I didn't see anything wrong with them. I do now, But that's been 35, 40 years later, you know, or more than that, really. And but when I first got saved, I was very young, and I didn't see anything wrong with a lot of things. And I thank God that a lot of Christians had patience with me that were much more mature in the faith than I was. I mean, they've been Christians 30 or 40 years, and they knew that there's some things I was doing that I shouldn't be doing, but they had patience, and they prayed, and they didn't make a big deal out of it. They didn't attack me. They didn't come up and embarrass me or anything else. It takes time to grow as a Christian, and the more that you read the Bible, you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We find that in 2 Peter chapter 3. We grow in the grace and the knowledge. And I think that's talking about growing grace is the fact God gives us grace. He doesn't come down with a sledgehammer every time when we're new Christians and that. And the knowledge, the more we read of the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit has to work to get our lives to be conformed the way to Christ that Christ wants us to have them. And it takes time to grow. It takes time as we learn the Word of God. It takes time to be convinced. It takes time for the Holy Spirit and His conviction and so forth and there. So what this chapter's teaching us here as Christians, hey, just because you're a mature Christian and you don't see anything wrong, you know, as far as what you eat or so forth like that, and I'll say this for lutefisk. We have some folks, I have some friends here in Walnut Grove and around, and they're always trying to get me to try lutefisk. Oh, my gracious sakes, I hope we don't have that stuff in heaven, you know, I don't think the Lord forced me to eat it there. I've never eaten it, but I just can't quite go lutefisk. Now, there are some of the brethren here that may look down upon me a little bit because I don't eat lutefisk. And I just tell them, I pray for them, I bless them. They must have a cast iron stomach, I suppose. But here we have a little liberty, you see. And I tell them, you've got to extend to me a little liberty. Now, I just don't quite see the lutefisk. And but now, I'm not condemning you if you eat it. Now, the lutefisk may condemn you, but I'm not, and I'm just saying that jokingly, of course, because we have many people here. I have many friends who love lutefisk. I don't know how they do, but we differ on that. Now, I'm not going to condemn somebody and because they eat lutefisk. God bless them if they eat lutefisk, and God bless me if I don't. And but these are the things that the Lord doesn't want you to be picking at. He doesn't want you to be condemning somebody else for. These are the little things. Yes, we judge the big things, that's important, but the little things, and we're just using that as sort of a trivial example, you know, but anyway, that's what this chapter's about, because every one of us is going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the most important thing, and we'll see that as we go on here. Now, we'll take one more message on this next week, but anyway, I hope you get the idea. Judge the big things, which we're supposed to. Let the little things alone and give Christians time. They're not all as spiritual as what you are if you've been a Christian for a long time. They're not going to look at things, a new Christian, just the way that you do. Well, I see your time's gone. We hope if you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, that you'll put your trust in Jesus Christ, and He promises that if you'll believe in Him, you'll never perish but have everlasting life. Our website is www.heritagebbc.com. We hope that you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.